Let's look in Isaiah 40 together. Isaiah 40. It's a privilege to stand in the pulpit that my dear, dear, dear friend stands in regularly. I don't have a better friend on the earth than him and Bruce Crabtree. And every time we talk, most of the time we talk an hour. And I'm very thankful for what the Lord's done for Lynn. I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I know you have too. Lord, open the door for her. And it's just like it took the death of Christ to save us. It took somebody's death to give her those organs. And but I tell you what, it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. I hope somebody can take this old sorry heart and use it one of these days. But it's just delightful to think about them. I love them. Wonderful to see all you all again. And I'm going to try to bring a message here from Isaiah 40. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. You see what he said there? Comfort my people, saith your God. God says, I want you to comfort my people, my people. The foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knows them that are his. They know them that are his. And then he goes on to say, speak ye comfortably but to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received double of the Lord's hand, double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. When you think about God and the way he is, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. It belongs to him. This world and everything in it. The heavens his throne. The earth is his footstool. And he reigns upon the earth. He reigns among the children of men. He does according to his will in the sea, the heavens, the sea, and all deep places. He has to leave him nobody. So this is the God that we're talking about. He says, my people, I want you to comfort my people, my people. There's a certain number he's calling my people. No wonder David said, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee. When he talks about his people, calling them my people, he's talking about his chosen, his elect, his purchased, his beloved, his sheep, vessels of mercy, vessels of honor, his bride, his beloved. Oh, he's got a lot of names for her. When he talks about my people, he passes by nations and multitude of people and counts them as drop in the bucket. Look down here in verse 12. This is who we're talking about now when he says, my people. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, meted out the heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and hills in a balance. You know how many mountains there are in this world? He said, listen, he just measures them like ain't nothing. Just measures them. He just, and all the dust of the earth. He said, that's just nothing. It's just nothing. Weigh that in scales. Weigh that in scales. Then look what he said. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel? Who did he counsel with? Who did he say, what should I do? How should I deal with men? How should I act in this world? How should I conduct myself in this world? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment? Who taught him what judgment was and how to judge and do the judgment? And who taught him any knowledge? Who taught God knowledge? Where did he learn anything? Huh? And who showed to him the way of understanding? You know what he says? He said, I'm going to tell you what it's really about. He said, look at all these nations. Look at all of them. Look at all of them with all their kings and all their crowns and all their might and all their power and all their glory and all their wealth and all their pomp and all their glory. He said, the nations are just a drop in a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. He takes up the isles, all the islands out there, he takes them up as a very little thing. And down in verse 17, all nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. And this is the God. This is the God. It says, comfort you, my people, saith your God. Comfort you, my people. We're his people. We're his property. Everything belongs to him, and yet he says, my people, his chosen. He's done more for them than he has anybody else in this earth. He bought them, paid for them with his own precious blood, and he brought them near to himself. He came where we were and brought us near to himself. And he turned around and set his heart upon us. The scripture said he loved us with an everlasting love, and with cords of loving kindness he called us. And when he says, my people, can you by faith put yourself in this number? Can you say like Thomas did, when the Lord Jesus, he said, I'm not going to believe unless I can see the holes in his hand and I can see the rip in his side. I'm not going to believe. And about the time he said that, the Lord stood before him and said, here, Thomas. And he cried out, my Lord and my God. Oh, can you say that, my Lord and my God? We sang that old hymn, can you read it? I can read my title clear. Can you read your title clear in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you say, I'm accepted in the beloved? God is full of care. Oh, he's full of care for his people. Oh, how he loves his people. How he watches over his people. And I tell you what, comfort ye. He says, comfort ye. Comfort the one who is having problems in their home. Comfort the one who's discouraged. Comfort the one who's having marital problems. Comfort the one who's got a job that's just a burden to him and he has to deal with things all the time. Oh, comfort the one with that eye that's got big tears in it. Comfort that one with a heart that aches. Comfort my people, saith your God. So who is it? Who is it that comforts the Lord's people? Who is it? When God says comfort them, when God says to comfort my people, he means to comfort his people. Who is it that comforts his people? Well, the Holy Spirit, he's called the comforter. Our Lord said, I go away, but when I go away, I'll send another comforter. And he'll come. And he said, he'll come and he'll comfort you. And he alone, the Holy Spirit alone, through the Lord Jesus Christ, can comfort the heart of his dear children. And he uses instruments. He uses instruments. And I tell you, there's different instruments that he uses to comfort his people in the world. Do you know that God himself gave every one of us an angel? Do you know that? He gave every one of us an angel. In fact, I think he gave me two. You know what they are? One of them's goodness over here and the other's mercy over there. but let me show you what I'm talking about. Look over in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. Let me show you what I'm talking about. There are evil spirits. And oh my, That's why he said, try the spirits, whether they be of God or not. But look here in Hebrews chapter 1. Look what he says here. You know, and we complain about these evil spirits and all their power over us. You know, we talked about, Revelation talks about the great dragon. Talks about Apollyon. And he talks about Satan as a roaring lion. But God has done whipped him. God done put him down. God done put him on a chain. But he has ministering spirits sent to minister to us. And look what it says here in verse 13 and 14 of chapter 1. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Listen to this. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? God gave us spirits. And I tell you, angels, and you find throughout the scripture, especially Psalm 34, and you look at it one of these days when you have time, said the Lord has an angel that goes before us. And he told his disciples, he says, you be very, very careful that you despise one of these little ones. For their angels do always behold my Father in heaven. And I tell you, their angel. So you be careful what you say about one of God's little ones. And I tell you, it's like Michael, you know, when Michael the archangel, he came to David. To Daniel. He came to Daniel when Daniel's by the riverside. And he came to Daniel. And Jude tells us that they were disputing over where Moses was buried. And I tell you, he said he had sent angels before thee. And they come to fight our battles. You remember over in 2 Kings, I believe it is, that there was a great, great army that came down on surrounded Jerusalem. And they're going to, a countless army. And everybody's scared to death, and it's all about to starve to death. But there's a couple of old lepers hanging around outside and said, well, if we go in, we're going to starve to death. And if we go into their hands, said, maybe they'll feed us before they kill us. So they went over to the camp over there, and they got over there, and 85,000 people was dead. And there was food everywhere. And they went, and I tell you what, they opened up the gates, and you know what killed them? The scripture said that the Lord sent the angels of the Lord. Oh, listen, I tell you, beloved, God sends his angels. And I tell you, he had an angel around Lazarus' deathbed. Remember old Lazarus? Poor Lazarus. And I tell you, Lazarus was laying at the rich man's gate, and the dogs was licking his sores. And the scriptures tells us that when he died, the angels came and laid hold on him and carried him up to Abraham's bosom. Carried him. And I tell you, and these angels are sent to comfort you, my people. They put Simon Peter in jail. Told him, said, we kept telling you, quit preaching. So they put him in jail. He's laying there sound asleep. If me and you had been in jail, we'd been awake all night. Oh, call some bondsman, get me out of here. But oh no, he laid down, went to sleep. An angel of the Lord come in there. And had to wake him up. He said, come on, follow me. And took him out of prison. And they went back to get him. And he said, he's not there. You know what he's doing? He's standing over yonder preaching. And when Paul had been on that shipwreck for over 14 days. Sun never shone. Moon never shone. Never saw a star. And an angel stood by him one night and said, you tell him. Don't you be afraid. Everybody on this ship's going to be saved. Every single one of them. So God uses angels. You know, I got in behind some slow people. Then I got in a traffic jam and a bad wreck. And you know, it never bothers me much. And I'll tell you why, because God knows what's down the road. He slow you down just when you need to be slowed down. You know, you may say, boy, you're a nut. Well, that's all right. That's okay. But I tell you what, I got two angels here by me. You can't see them. They're principalities and powers, the scriptures tells us. Christ is the head of principalities and powers. Those are some of the principalities and powers. God sends archangels to do certain things for His people. And He's never, ever going to... You know, the angels of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear the Lord, the Scripture says. Psalm 34, 7. Encamps around them. Encamps around them. And I tell you somebody else supposed to come. Not only angels, but preachers. Preachers. Preachers are to comfort the Lord's people. You know, that's a... I know the Scriptures tells us Scriptures are profitable for correction, for... correction, instruction in righteousness. But I tell you, God calls His preachers to comfort His people. Comfort His people. How in the world is God going to comfort His people? Well, there's some people that's high maintenance. I don't know if you've ever been around any of them, but there's some folks just real high maintenance. And you know what? Do you need somebody? They need somebody to hold their hand. They need to be pumped up all the time. Need to baby them. Need to stroke them. Is that what you need to do? No. I remember one time, tell you a true story. Had my first grandbaby. His name was Josh. And we carried him with us everywhere we went. And I had a pacifier in my pocket one day and didn't know it. And I was talking about pacifying people. People need pacifiers and got to be stroked and got to be pacified. And I reached in my pocket and I said, yeah, right here's one you wanted. But oh my, and oh, surely people don't need to be stroked. No, that's not how you comfort the Lord's people. You comfort the Lord's people with the blessed gospel of grace and with the gracious doctrine. You've covered God's people. Tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Tell them about His blessed power. Tell them about His blessed grace. Tell them about His compassion. Tell them about His personality. You know, when we think about Christ, and I've said this to you before, I think, when you think of Christ, do you see a physical image in your mind? I do not see a physical image of Christ in my mind. And I absolutely hate it when I see these pictures of Jesus, you know, with the heart open on out of His chest and the old blonde head. It looks like, as Tim James said, looks like Wild Bill Hickok. You know, he's real blonde-headed and long hair. And you know, and he was a Jew. He's dark, dark-headed. The Scripture said his hair was black, black as a raven's. And I'll tell you, you preach us the grace of God and gracious doctrine. There's no comfort in the other doctrines. There's no comfort in free will. There's no comfort in Arminianism. Is there any comfort? Let me ask you this. Is there any comfort in preaching you're a child of God today and you may fall away sometime later on? Is there any comfort in that? A child of God today and a devil tomorrow? To say I'm redeemed by the blood and yet the blood of Christ is not sufficient unless you mix your faith. The only thing that will make the blood of Christ effectual is for your faith to be added to it. Your tears to be added to it. Your repentance to be added to it. Your good thoughts to be added to it. Your good works to be added to it. Or is the blood of Christ sufficient to save His people from their sins without anything else being added to it? You know how to mess up, the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ? Add anything to it and you've ruined it. You add the minutest detail to it and you've messed it up. Oh, the gospel. I'll tell you what, I know this, that if salvation wasn't by grace, if salvation wasn't by Christ, if God hadn't in His sovereign mercy sent His Son into this world and made Him in my room and in my stead, suffer my punishment, suffer my wrath, bear my sin and bear your sin, and if He had not done that, there's no way under God's heaven that a soul on this earth could be saved. If God left one sin for us to put away, we'd everyone be damned. We wouldn't even know what sin it was. What if He told us we didn't know what sin it was? He said, I'm going to leave one sin in your life. Now, if you can get rid of that one, I'll take you to glory. And then he wouldn't tell you what it is. You'd be going through your mind, what have I done? What have I done? And that's what Armenians do anyway. Oh my, what comfort is in that, that my standing depends upon me, that my blessings depend upon me. I tell you, you and I, if it depends on us to do something to get a blessing from God, none of us will ever have a blessing. If blessings, we're not waiting for blessings, we've already been blessed. How can we be any more blessed than we're already blessed? Why can we have more than we already got? You know, what more do we need than the Lord Jesus Christ? What more do we need than His righteousness? What more do we need than His blood? Oh, God, make us preachers. Make me as a preacher. Oh, make me a comforter with the gospel of God's dear Son. Paul said it like this. He said, we preach not ourselves. We're not talking about our ministries. And oh, what great preachers we are. And all the things we've accomplished. We got worldwide ministries. And we got this many tapes and this many CDs. And this many people listening. Oh, we don't preach ourselves. People talk about their church. Man, there ain't never been a man had a church. The church belongs to Christ. But oh my, make us preachers. And oh, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Ourselves as servants for your sake. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? God come down in the womb of a virgin. What did He do? He came into this world not for Himself, but He came into this world for these people that He says are my people. He came into this world to represent a people that the Father gave Him in a covenant of grace. And I tell you what, He represented them perfectly from the day He was born till the day He died until the day He ascended to glory, and He's still taking care of His people right now. And oh, why did He do it? So He could be just God. Would you change God? Would you change God in His justice? God is just. God is holy. God is everything. And I tell you, how in the world can He stay holy? How can He stay just and yet take a bunch of miserable worms, grasshoppers, sinners of the darkest dye? How can He take them? Who was born in sin, shapen in iniquity, with a heart full of enmity against God. How can He take that people? And how can He take them and change them and slay that enmity and slay that hatred that they have for God? How can He do that? By making Christ to be us in His stead. Taking our Lord Jesus Christ and Him saying, Father, instead of taking them, take me. Instead of punishing them, punish me. Instead of pouring your wrath on them, pour it out on me. Instead of inflicting eternal death on them, put death on me. Let me die. Instead of putting them in a grave where they can never come out, I'll go to the grave and I'll sanctify it and I'll purify it and I'll perfume it and I'll come back out so that everyone for whom I died will go to a grave, but one of these days, just like I rose, they'll rise again too. Oh my. Oh, what a blessed Savior we got. What a blessed Savior. And you know, He's right now, He's not, you know, this is the thing. He can be in heaven. And He can be omnipresent everywhere on this planet. He can be in glory and be in you. Oh my. Our Wednesday nights is special meetings for me. They're special meetings for me with God's saints. Oh, they're wonderful, wonderful meetings for me. I just love to meet with the Lord's people. And they love to come. They say, oh, I just could not wait till Wednesday night. I just couldn't hardly wait. I said, I had to be out here in this old filthy world. And I said, I had to deal with this old world. I said, to come in here and get cleansed, get strengthened, get encouraged, get fed. I remember a preacher. He pastored a little church out in North Carolina. And boy, I'll tell you what, he is mean. I think he had a little man syndrome. He's a little fella, way smaller than I am. I think he had a little man syndrome. But anyway, to make a long story short, he was mean. He just got mean. And he told a bunch of people one time, I'm not here to comfort you. You won't comfort you. Go someplace else. There was a dear lady in that church. When I'd go out there and be around them, she cut my hair. She had her own beauty shop, and she'd cut my hair every time I was out there. And she was such a sweet gal and had a couple babies. Her husband's just wonderful. Well, she got cancer. She got really, really sick. She came in late one Sunday morning. Just barely could go. She was trying to. And this sorry preacher said, if you can't be here on time, don't even come at all. Didn't show any kindness, any compassion, any mercy. The woman got cancer. She ended up dying. Now, what kind of preacher would do that? What kind of preacher would do that? Huh? Oh, my. You know, I wouldn't. To mistreat one of the Lord's people? Oh, God, I'd rather do anything than mistreat one for whom Christ died. And I tell you, you hear preachers and they seem theologically correct. And but when they're preaching, like old Scott Richardson used to say, he said a lot of good things, but I didn't hear nothing about a lamb. Where's the lamb? That's what we want to know. That's like Abraham and I going up the mountain. Father, we got everything we need for a sacrifice, but where in the world's the lamb? And that's what you wonder. Where's the lamb when preaching sometimes? Oh, comfort you, my people. I tell you something else that needs to comfort the Lord's people. And you need to comfort one another. You know, you can comfort one another. Let me look over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. This is such a blessing over here. And look what it says here. You know, God's people can comfort one another, and they do comfort one another. I could not tell you how many times I've been comforted by the Lord's people. I've been comforted by Todd. I've been comforted by Bruce. I've been comforted by people in our congregation. I've been comforted by lots of people. But look what he said here in verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love this right here. The Father of mercies. The Father of mercies. You mean we got a Father who makes mercies, who produces mercies, that mercies come from Him. And then not only is He the Father of mercies, but the God of all comfort. Now watch this now. Who comforts us in all our tribulation. Everybody has tribulation. There's one of three places you're going to be at in your life at any given time. You're either in trouble, coming out of trouble, or going into trouble. That's just the nature of life. That's the nature of living. And that's the nature of you being you. We bring a lot of troubles on ourselves because of the way we think, the way we do, and the way we act. But we bring a lot on ourselves. But look what he says. Though he comfort us in our tribulation. I thought, let me tell you a couple of things that I always said for years and years, I never knew what a trial was. I'd never had a trial. But then I got to thinking about it. I got a daughter. She's a drug addict and been a drug addict for years and years and years. I ain't talked to her in almost 3 years. Carried her to rehab 5 different times. Last time I talked to her, I just couldn't deal with it anymore. I can't talk. I just can't deal with it anymore. So now when I see parents with children and they have trouble with their children, who got a son or a daughter or brother or sister that's hooked on drugs or alcohol or something, I can identify with them. I can have compassion. I can comfort them because I've been comforted in my tribulation. And then, you know, I had a wife, married 44 years. The Lord took her out. He took her. She belonged to him, and he's got the right to take her anytime he wants to. Take her any way he wants to. He's God. And she knew that, she understood that, but I'm telling you, you would not believe how many people comforted me in that situation. In her boat. Brought meals, brought cards, come and stay, come and visit. It was nothing that we didn't want for. And so all these things that we have happen to us, God comforts us when we're tried, when we're going through a great, think it not strange concerning the fire trial which is to try you. And God, he comforts us in our trials, in our troubles, in our tribulations. And you know why he does that? Look what it says. That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. When other people get in trouble, we see the trouble coming. We see what they're going through. Todd and Lynn's going through trouble. They're going through trouble. Maybe some of you are going through trouble. But I tell you what, when we get tried, he does that so we can comfort one another with the comfort that God gave us. When he comforted me through my things, I can comfort people now. Before that, things didn't move me much, but now I know what it is to have a burdened heart. And then we can comfort one another like God comforted us. Comfort one another. Oh, that when you've tasted the Lord is gracious, be gracious. When you're up, you help those that are down. And when you're sad and down, some days, do you ever get up and it's just dark? You have no explanation for it. Just have a dark day. Just a dark day. Did anybody ever have one of those? You just get up and you say, boy, it's a day that's just dark. It's just a dark. You just there's no light. There's no light. But you keep on. Why? Why? Because you come and you hear the gospel and people help you. And you go find somebody who's full of joy and strength and get you some comfort. And then go, especially to the great comforter souls, and ask for him to comfort you. And then go comfort somebody else. Well, I've got to hurry. I don't know how long. I don't have a clue how long I've been preaching. Huh? Why did God say, comfort you, my people? Because he loves them. He loves them. He says, they're my people. Somebody read tonight, they're trees of the Lord. He comforts them, and he's comforted by sending his son, by sending his spirit. And I tell you, one of the most blessed things that comforts me as much as anything that's ever happened in my life is when I found out that Christ put all my sin away 2,000 years ago. Not when I believed, but I believed because my sins were put away. He called on me because I couldn't call on him. He came to me because I couldn't come to him. And when I found out that all my sins, past, present, and all the ones that I haven't even committed yet, is taken care of 2,000 years ago. Oh my. You're looking at a man that right now, the only thing going to change about me when I go to glory is my body. I'm still going to be righteous. I'm still going to be holy. I'm going to still know Jesus Christ, and I'm going to enjoy his presence. You know, we're not going to change that much. Just have a new body. And speak ye, look what it says there in the margin here of Isaiah 40. He says, speak ye comfortably. Speak to the heart. Speak to the heart. That's what he's talking about. Speak to the heart. To Jerusalem, to the church. Cry unto her. Her warfare is accomplished. The captain of our salvation has defeated everything. Her iniquity is pardoned. I put them away by the blood of my cross. And then look what it says in verse 1. She hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Oh my, what in the world you reckon this means? Double for all her sins. Twice as much as her sins deserved. But double is put for abundantly. Abundantly. It's two ways. You know, old top lady said, be a sin the double cure, save from wrath, and make me pure. Well, that's how we're doubly saved. Christ was punished for us. That's one way it's put away, the wrath of God. And then he rewarded us as if we'd done it ourselves. Now, can you get that? He treats us as if we done it ourselves. You know why? Because we are in him. And what he did, we did. Huh? Look what it says down here, I think. Let me see where it's at in verse. His reward's with him. Where's it at down here? Oh, yeah, I'm down verse 10. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand. His arms shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him. His reward is with him and his work before him. And oh my, he comforts his people. And I tell you another thing. You know what? What is awful is for an uncomfortable Christian to be around somebody mourning, complaining, long-faced. Everybody ever asked me, they asked me, say, how you doing? I said, I have no complaints, absolutely none. I've been saying that for years. My mother-in-law said to me one time, said, you got to be feel bad sometimes. I said, if I do, you'll never know it. And that's the way why? God give us something to comfort his people with. Oh my, electing grace, that's comforting. Covenant of love, that's comforting. A covenant ordered in all things and sure, sealed with the blood of Christ. He said, go and tell Judah, listen, behold your God. That's comforting, that's comforting. And I tell you, God's done something for his people down through history. Brought Israel out of Egypt, Daniel from the lion's den, children from the fiery furnace, and us from sin and death. And then we have present mercies. Somebody mentioned that tonight, praying or something back there. He said, they're present mercies. Thank you for our mercies. And our present mercies. What a mercy that God let us gather here tonight as God's people for one reason, to worship the Lord, to hear the word of God, and to love one another and bring glory and honor to our blessed Savior. What better thing, what a most glorious thing. What a mercy. That's a present mercy. That's a present mercy. Our Father, in the precious name, blessed name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for allowing us to meet here tonight. Thank you for these dear children of God, these dear saints. Lord, we thank you for them. Thank you for the abundance of grace that you've given them. Thank you that you've taught them the gospel and you've taught it to them well. We thank you for a preacher and a pastor that loves them and comes and preaches to them faithfully, clearly and plainly, lovingly. And Lord, we do pray for the dear preacher and his wife and Aubrey. God bless them. God strengthen them. God encourage them. God make them whole and make it to where they can come back and worship again. Bless Todd to come and preach. And Lord, I know these people love you and love him and miss him. So Lord Jesus, dear, keep these people. Keep them as the apple of your eye. Keep them close to your heart. And Lord, we know we love you, but not near like we should. So work in our heart. Give us a greater love for you than we've ever had. And give us a great, great love for one another. We ask these things in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you.